We are once again at hymn 347, stanza 5 today, so you may open to that. In Jesus' name, dear fellow students of Christ, the car was speeding westward at the close of a long day, and the late afternoon sun was low, glaring in the faces of four high school students, juniors and seniors, as they headed toward Lemon, South Dakota. They were going there to meet with other students and enjoy the gift of Christian friendship with which the Lord had blessed them. But theirs was not the only car heading into that late afternoon sun. The driver of the car up ahead of them was perhaps blinded momentarily, for it swerved to the left and sideswiped an oncoming car. That car swerved out of control, heading straight for the young people's car. "It's going to hit us," said one of the students, and it did. Through that accident, the Lord called home three of those four students that day, home to eternal day. It's not only for us old folks that the Lord Jesus has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so he both urges and enables us at all times to be ready to sing, "Evil world, I leave thee. Sinful life, thy bonds I sever. Leave thee now forever." Perhaps it is because of lines like that in this hymn that from the 18th century on, this has also been used for funeral services. But when we stop to think about it, this stanza speaks more about living than it does about dying. "Evil world, I leave thee, thou canst not deceive me, thine appeal is vain. Sin that once did blind me, get thee far behind me. Come not forth again." Titus 2. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Pass thy hour, O pride and power, sinful life thy bonds I sever, leave thee now forever." So what about it? If you could be upright, altogether pleasing to God, and enjoy life at the same time, would you want that? Well, sure, who wouldn't? Surely Eve in the Garden of Eden would have said yes to that. But the trouble was that she became persuaded that this was not possible, that she was not really enjoying life to the full if she passed up the opportunity to eat from that tree. Our sinful human nature thinks that way, that to be upright before God will somehow deprive us, hurt us, and in some way take the joy out of life. And so our flesh cringes at the thought of being holy and tingles with excitement when we stumble on something just a little off color. So also it may seem to us at times that being an upright Christian is a terribly hard and demanding thing, almost bitter. But the thing that makes us upright before God is not our saying no to sin, no to the evil world with its pride and power. It is not our holy life that gives us standing with God, but the holy life which by God's grace has appeared to all men, Jesus' holy life. This is what brings salvation. Jesus is the one who is revealed in the gospel. He is the one who did all things well. It was a very hard and demanding life, even bitter. But Jesus lived it for all of us. His blood cleanses us from all sins. His death makes our death into a dressing room where the makeup is removed, the costume is laid aside, and incorruption it is put on, and we go off the stage and into real life. Our saying no to sin and selfishness and yes to God, these things which His grace leads us to do are pleasing to God, but we were pleasing to God even before we did them in connection with Christ Jesus. Would you like to be upright before God and enjoy life too? They are one and the same thing. For it is the upright who live. And through faith, Jesus gives us uprightness, His uprightness. The only thing that Christ makes us give up is eternal death. That is the great deception of this evil world, that it has something to do with life. The end of those things is death. In Him is life. So when we make the great sacrifice and give up the trappings of death, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is like giving up cancer. When young people say no to premarital sex, it's because they know Christ has something better for them. When older Christians say no to letting position or possessions rule their decisions in this life, it is because they have a better way. They have a better life. We have a better life, a life that no crunching metal or breaking glass can take away from us, nor can any of the other consequences of sin in this world. We have Jesus Christ, because He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. We have a priceless treasure. Amen. Stanza 5.